This is an AI-generated summary of Hansard for Wednesday, 5th June, 1901. The House of Representatives. The address in reply debate continued with Sir Langdon Bonython from South Australia. He addressed bills restricting Asiatic immigration and South Sea Island labour, declaring support for a White Australia policy. Sir Langdon Bonython applauded the promise of a uniform franchise and anticipated that South Australia's model would be adopted nationwide. He also advocated for federal quarantine legislation, calling for justice for South Australia following a recent smallpox outbreak. Additionally, he expressed hope that the Commonwealth would assume control of the Northern Territory, noting the sacrifices made by South Australia in maintaining a white population there. And he quoted his previous offer to financiers willing to take over the territory under exploitative conditions, which South Australia had refused. Mr. Conroy briefly interjected, naming an economist, before Mr. Manifold of Corangamite addressed the House. Mr. Manifold expressed concern over defence remarks and argued for a stronger military and a system of citizen soldiership. He criticised the artillery of Victoria as ineffective and warned against competition from countries with low wages, such as China. Mr. Paterson from Capricornia then took the floor, stating that the settlement of the black labour issue was more important than fiscal matters. He condemned the practice of Kanaka labour as nearly slavery with low wages, calling it the vilest form of protection. Citing the Royal Commission in Queensland, which determined that sugar could be grown by white labour south of Townsville, Mr. Paterson disputed figures related to capital and employment in the sugar industry. After a series of interjections from Mr. Groom, Mr. Conroy, Mr. Morgar, and Mr. A. McLean of Gippsland, Mr. Paterson continued his argument by comparing trade and population statistics. The debate saw vigorous exchanges on issues ranging from free trade to the efficiency of compulsory arbitration. Mr. Kennedy of Moira emphasized that under New Zealand's compulsory arbitration laws, there had been 5 years without strikes or lockouts, contrasting it with other approaches. He highlighted that enterprises in various industries had only received fair treatment under such measures. Sir William Lyne remarked on the selection of a site for a proposed project, insisting that the location should be convenient for all concerned. Meanwhile, debates intensified over tariffs, free trade, and the merit of the government's policies. Mr. Sidney Smith of Macquarie criticised the government's past record, especially its stance on free trade, prompting interjections from Sir William Lyne, Mr. Chapman, and others. Sir John Forrest defended the government against criticisms from Mr. Joseph Cook and other members. Throughout the debate, multiple interjections occurred from figures including Mr. Watson, Mr. Poynton, Mr. Deakin, Mr. Higgins, and Mr. King O'Malley. These contributions touched on issues such as railway charges, the distribution of population figures, economic statistics, and the role of legal professionals in the arbitration process. Amid the heated exchanges, the amendment on the address in reply was put to a vote and defeated. Shortly thereafter, Mr. Barton moved that the address be presented to the Governor-General, a motion which was agreed upon. Motions regarding supply and ways and means followed, and members posed questions concerning the parliamentary library and record keeping. Responses were provided by Mr. Barton, Sir William Lyne, Mr. Higgins, Mr. Groom, Mr. Crouch, and Mr. Kirwan. Mr. Barton also moved a motion to set the days and hours of meeting. This motion received contributions from Mr. Watson, Mr. Quick, Mr. McMillian, Mr. MacDonald Paterson, Mr. Kennedy, and Mr. O'Malley. Following further debate on business and legislative matters, including discussions related to elections, the House managed its business, reflecting a robust interchange of views on both policy and procedural matters. Later in the session, members such as Mr. Solomon, Mr. Watson, Mr. Cook, and Mr. Barton offered additional remarks on various topics, including aspects of the White Australia policy. The debate concluded with final comments, and the House adjourned at 10:22 p.m. This transcript captures the primary viewpoints and key exchanges on immigration, defence, labour conditions, and economic policies, reflecting the fervent and interjected nature of the discussion during the day's proceedings. The Senate. The Senate session began with a motion concerning upcoming Senate elections. Senator William Higgs from the Labour Party in Queensland opened the debate. The President clarified that Senator Higgs could propose an amendment. Senator James Walker from New South Wales questioned the motion's intent, and Senator James Drake interjected regarding cost. Senator Gregor McGregor from South Australia also contributed to the discussion. Senator Sir John Downer from South Australia moved to amend the motion so that the reporting included each senator's election expenses. In response, Senator Thomas Playford asked if the government could obtain such data. Senator Downer replied that they must do their best, and Senator Walker agreed with the amendment. However, Senator Sir Frederick Sargood from Victoria questioned the practicality of gathering the information. Later, Senator Sir Josiah Simon from South Australia argued against the amendment while being supported by Senator Playford's remarks. Senator Simon proposed changing the language by striking aggregate and inserting each of, and Senator Drake concurred. Recognizing the need for clarity, the President noted that an amendment was before the Chair and Senator Downer, then withdrew his own amendment so that Senator Simon's proposal could proceed. Senator Simon formally moved his amendment. Senator John Keating from Tasmania argued that the motion should clarify the return of primary votes for Tasmanian senators, given their unique voting system. Although Senator Drake said that the return would provide the information, Senator Keating maintained the need for clarity. This debate extended to questions from Senator Norman Ewing from Western Australia regarding the feasibility of a recount given ballot sealing procedures. Senator Playford insisted that Tasmania counts votes, and Senator Keating noted that the returning officer keeps a record. After further discussion, including whether secondary votes should be included, the amendment by Senator Simon was agreed to. Subsequently, the President altered paragraph A with Senate consent and clarified that Senator Downer could not speak again, with Senator Downer remarking that no standing orders existed yet. The debate then shifted when Senator William Zeal from Victoria moved an amendment concerning the return of primary votes in Tasmania. Senator James Stewart from Queensland raised objections immediately, and the discussion deepened as Senator Lieutenant Colonel John Neild from New South Wales, Senator David Charleston from South Australia, and others weighed in. Senators even considered anecdotal evidence, such as Senator Ferguson from Queensland, noting that his election expenses had already been covered while he was in England. In the end, when it was determined that only two states might be able to provide the requested information, a division was held with 13 votes in favour and 17 against, and the amendment was negatived. Senator John Clemens then declared that debate on this amendment was closed, although further discussion continued briefly among Senator Clemens, Senator Playford, and the President. Afterward, Senator Drake introduced the Post and Telegraph Bill. When Senator Henry Dobson asked when the bill would be circulated, Senator Drake replied it would be available the next morning. A motion was made to print the bill and schedule its second reading for the following day. Concerns were raised by Senator Sir Frederick Sargood and Senator Sir John Downer about moving the second reading before all senators had time to review the bill. Senator Albert Gould suggested circulating the bill that afternoon. Ultimately, it was agreed that the bill would be adjourned to be taken on a later date. Attention then turned to the days and hours of Senate sittings. Senator Drake moved a motion on behalf of the Vice President of the Executive Council regarding the schedule, and Senator Gould proposed that the Senate meet on Friday mornings so that senators could return home on Friday afternoons. The debate included remarks by Senator Lieutenant Colonel John Neild about ensuring sittings ended in time for travel, and Senator William Zeal emphasizing that the schedule was already fixed. Humorous interjections, such as Senator Gregor McGregor's suggestion that a bonus might be given to invent a flying machine, lightened the discussion. An amendment on the sitting schedule was eventually agreed to. The debate moved on to issues regarding the order of business and internal procedures. Senator Drake proposed that government and Senate business be accorded priority. Senator David Charleston raised the matter of naming the dinner hour, and Senator Best and Senator Lieutenant Colonel John Neild supported inserting specific terms after questions. The president clarified that a formal motion involved no debate. Some senators, including Senator Playford, Senator Zeal, and Senator Sir Josiah Simon, questioned the use of the term formal motion and suggested its omission because many senators could not attend until later in the day. When the matter was put to a division regarding whether to omit the phrase the dinner hour, the vote was 16 in favor and 15 opposed. Later, Senator Drake moved a motion reserving the right for His Majesty's ministers to determine the rotation in which government business was taken up. When Senator Albert Gould questioned whether the government could change its schedule on the fly, Senator Drake maintained that the Senate's consent must be obtained to postpone any order of the day. Finally, Senator Drake moved a motion for the temporary adoption of the draft standing orders laid on the table of the Senate on 23rd of May, to be used until the Senate formally adopted a set of standing orders as recommended by a committee. This proposal led to extensive debate on whether to adopt a familiar set of standing orders or create entirely new rules for the Senate. Senator Sir Josiah Simon argued in favor of adopting procedures that were already in successful use in other legislative assemblies, emphasizing that the Senate had managed well without standing orders so far and should avoid creating an unfamiliar system. In contrast, Senator Drake expressed concern that introducing numerous committee recommendations would complicate Senate proceedings and make the process cumbersome. After heated discussion, a vote was taken on the adoption of the draft standing orders, with the final division being 16 votes in favor and 17 opposed, and the amendment was negatived. Before adjourning, the president invited the leaders of the various parties and senators generally to meet the next morning at 10:30 to discuss and formulate a more permanent set of parliamentary rules based on practices from well-known legislative assemblies. The session concluded with a recess and plans to prioritize the Post and Telegraph Bill on the following day. This has been a LaunchLab production. LaunchLab.com.au